Hello and welcome to this, the very first edition of Brashcast. I'm Liam and I'm here with Ross.
Hello.
Ross Frame. I should probably throw in your second name this
week. Yeah,
it's just Ross.
You know, to be honest, it's normally I go by my, like, if it's all about gaming, it's going to be my online tag that...
I can't remember what that
it's
is.
It's Roguester.
See, that sounds pretty cool. But then even Ross, if you were just known as Ross, it's kind of like Madonna, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
But,
yeah.
You know, I don't think you're going to be a pop star with just the name Ross.
Well, you never know. Charismatic, but,
I think Roguester go with that. The thing is, I mean, we're jumping straight in with game tags here. But mine is Papa Bugandi, as you know. It's hard to explain. Most people think I'm Indian.
I thought it was maybe a reference to Papa Burgundy.
Yeah, it is. The thing is, I got the 360 and like I just got far too excited. First online experience, just kind of went in and, of course, spelt the fuck wrong. And what it costs like, how much, like 800 points to redo your name?
I remember being quite interested like that people were willing to pay to have their names changed. It's like,
well, it's because of people like me. That's the reason. Like, that, fuckers who just spell their name wrong.
It's because people get so attached to their gamer score.
No. You don't want to change it. It's like, that's why I'm stuck on Orange for the rest of my life. I'm not going to change my phone number now. I'm just like, yeah, I'll just take the hit, you know, whatever it costs. But, like, I don't care how retarded my name sounds, I'm not paying 800 points or whatever the hell it is to change it.
It is
the question.
It is a bit stupid.
Oh, by the way, in case you hadn't guessed, this is a podcast about video games. You know, just in case you didn't know, and we're just jumping straight in there. But, I mean, we're going to be primarily talking about video games, but, you know, we're going to go off on one whenever, you know, it suits us. We'll be looking generally at kind of geek culture, I suppose. So, you know, be it movies, comic books. We're going to start with a base for video games, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's where our definitely where our mutual experience lies.
Yeah. That's where the love is. You know, we both like video games, but like so many other video games out there, we tend to have a taste for other fields of geekiness.
Yes.
But, I mean, how do you even feel about that? I mean, geeky used to be a problem, but I've always said, like, I'm happy to admit I'm a geek because I separate geek from nerd very clearly.
Yes, I think
there's a big difference.
Nerd, you can, if you're a geek, you're interested in things and normally have a fountain of useless knowledge.
Yeah.
Whereas nerd tends to mean that you're...
obsessive, that's one, I'd say.
Well, nerd, I would say it's more you're good at something... technical. So say you can
comes with it as well is that idea of just being kind of socially inept as well.
Well,
which doesn't come
with
geek.
It's definitely hard for me to argue that, but I suppose the definition of geek is changing now.
Oh yeah, everyone's a geek nowadays.
It's becoming, and I hate to use the phrase, but mainstream too.
There's no doubt about it. The past 5 years, I mean, we're going straight in with movies now, but beyond just video games obviously becoming a mainstream, you know, phenomenon. Movies themselves, I mean, you look at the past 4 or 5 years and the next couple of years to come, all the big temple movies are all geek movies.
It's the kind of the advent of the comic book movie.
We
obviously had Tim Burton's Batman, but...
And Blade was the next one, wasn't it? Like, everyone forgets about Blade.
They were very isolated, I think, the Tim Burton Batmans.
Oh, yeah, because they followed up with, like, The Shadow, which was shit. Phantom, I think, was after the one with Billy Zane. That was
everyone went for
that kind of gothic thing afterwards. It kind of died a death, and it picked it up back again with like Blade, which basically kind of led the way for X-Men.
Yeah, well, there was also Constantine. People forget that Constantine was
That was kind of almost good. I know a lot of people had a problem because he wasn't blonde and shit, but
he wasn't a Scouser.
It was like, okay, he was complete opposite of the character.
To be honest with you, I went into the Constantine movies having absolutely no idea.
Like I'd never read the comic book.
I knew it was a comic book, but I never read it.
Like I knew he was blonde. Like I'd read about it and stuff, but I didn't have a problem with it being Keanu Reeves. Other than, well, you know, the fact that it's Keanu Reeves.
Canoe, I call him because he's so wooden.
Oh, you know, that was a terrible joke. It's fine. You know, we're up and rolling. We're here all week, you know, with that stuff. But like the thing is, Keanu Reeves, like he's a douchebag. He's not the great actor in the world, but. In certain roles, he just seems to suit them. He just seems to work.
He's been a lucky bugger in the sense that he's had some pretty awesome roles.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, he's a handsome lad. I think that's it.
Yeah. I mean, say what you like about The Matrix as a trilogy.
The first one's amazing.
The first one is incredible.
Phenomenal. And I know
this is going to be controversial, but I think... I just think that the second one is actually not a terrible movie.
I was funny enough just talking about this week. It's not a great film, But some of the scenes are some of my favourites. Like the scene on the highway.
Oh, the way
it all kind of builds up to that crescendo where it might look cheesy, but the bit, I remember watching the cinema, the bit when he flies in just as the truck's coming together
and puts
him up and does that little turn in the air as well as he kind of drags him up. I was just like, yeah, that was a bit of a...
It was definitely where that kind of CGI was not quite in its infancy, but still finding its feet.
Compared to today, I suppose, because it was still at a point when you felt they were pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it almost feels like it's just a matter of a polishing exercise. Like, it's just getting better, but it's like, in terms of CG, it's like, where do they go next in terms of, like, the next big thing?
I mean, the one that kind of shows both sides of that in that film, I think, is the fight with all the Agent Smiths.
Oh, yeah, that looks a bit...
Because it doesn't look right, but... The spectacle itself is enough to keep me watching it because it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a technical marvel, but you just think, because you're used to, you know, obviously you just kind of grow up with the effects, it's amazing then.
Yeah.
But then you go back to like 4 or 5 years later and you start picking holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
And especially because they were so, I mean, I guess you could call it brave, I thought it was a little bit, where they kind of really went for those close-ups when it was clearly CG and it doesn't look right, you know?
So,
it's impressive in its own kind of technical way. But when they're human faces, it's always the one that kind of calls it. And obviously, that's why Avatar was the success was. But yeah, video games anyway. We're just supposed to be talking about video games. This is going to happen quite often, I fear.
There was a Matrix video game. It's vaguely relevant.
Yeah,
there were several.
Most of them were shit.
Yeah.
I remember playing like The Path of Neo. That was okay. No, they were shit.
I remember the one that the Wachowski brothers wrote. A script.
Oh, the one in between 2 and 3.
And you were Nairobi and Ghost.
Yeah, but Nairobi.
I actually remember their names.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible, but it's Jada Pinkett Smith, and I fucking hate Jada Pinkett Smith. I don't know what it is about her. Just like, I'm starting to hate Will Smith.
She's kind of smug, I guess.
But yeah, maybe so. Like, she's self righteous. I'm starting to hate Will Smith by association, and Will Smith's like, he's the coolest, nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
But it's her and a kid. I fucking hate it. Oh yeah. Well, I don't even count. What is it? Hair back and forth. Whatever her name is.
But if you think about the ego, Will and Willow and Jada and Jaden.
I literally have never thought of that.
They've literally passed their names down. Basically,
if I'd eaten earlier, I think I would have been a little bit sick of my mouth. That is just horrible when you say it. Well, that's certainly not helped.
It's the ego. Yeah.
But yeah, that's not cool. But they weren't good games. But I was just about to go off on one then about movies, video games, but I'm gonna wait.
Yes.
There was a plan we had to this podcast, and we're gonna try our very best to stick with it.
Yeah.
Basically, as this is our first podcast, so what we're gonna do is give you a little introduction to us as gamers, as people. You know, I suppose, and we'll take we're gonna have a look at, you know, what got us into gaming. What was the first moment? What was that game where you went, all right, that's it. You know, games are for me. And you know, look at that. You know, the first console you owned. Because, and the thing is, like so many other podcasts, we won't be kind of talking, pretending like we don't know what we're talking about. I mean, we've literally met like twice.
Yeah.
I know jack shit about you. at this moment, I'm just hoping you're not a killer, to be honest.
Yeah, you know,
I let you into my house.
I mean, I took the risk of coming to your house first, so.
Yeah,
it's all very nice, but there is one door that I haven't seen behind, and I heard like buzzsaws and
stuff. You won't be seeing that, there's no way.
Yeah.
But I mean, what was, I guess, well, you know, it's a two-part question, but first and foremost, what was, you know, the game, what was the moment where you went, yeah, games for me?
Well, to be honest with you, and I know a lot of people are going to just facepalm, because it's very much the trendy answer.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, it's my all-time favourite game, and the one that really showed me that...
All-time favourite game? You're really sticking out there.
And it's kind of the one that showed me that story and gameplay can work together, and it's Final Fantasy VII.
That was the one that really. I mean, it's hard to. The thing is, I don't think that's a facepalm. It was a fucking. It still is an amazing game.
Yeah. I mean, it's to still, the point where it's getting a re-release. Well, it's had a bloody awful re-release, but it's
what, on PSN, you mean?
No, on the PC.
Of course they did the PC release recently, didn't they? Just kind of snuck that up there. Like,
everyone's been complaining about it because apparently, like, they launched it early for digital download, but it didn't. Yeah. It wasn't working properly.
That's one thing. Like, I am not, you know, console gaming. I feel like I know PC gaming. It feels like a whole different beast. Bethan won't let me near a computer. Just in case I decide to start playing Warcraft.
I
can't be loud. It's like she would, I honestly think she would put heroin in front of me before Warcraft.
To be honest with you, we're within 10 minutes, and I guess it's going to be a recurring theme, but my love of Star Wars
Oh yeah,
I'm wearing my Han Solo t-shirt anyway, but
you're in good company here. Yeah, I love Star Wars. Although I find it starting to wane slightly in all the rage. I just turned 30, and as much as I love the original trilogy, I feel like the latter films are starting to take a, you know, they're wearing me down now, kind of thing. All the additional bad movies, a lot of bad video games. I'm just like, oh my god. Although there've been some decent ones.
Well, it was just what you were saying about Warcraft. Like,
yeah.
I was petrified.
Oh yeah.
When they announced Knights of the Old Republic, because I played the BioWare game. Mm-hmm. It was what made me love BioWare.
Oh, I mean, I love the Old Republic one. Did you play on the Xbox?
Yeah.
They were ace. I guess the first one especially. The second one, that wasn't by BioWare, was it? That was by
it was
by the guys who did that espionage game recently.
They also did Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell are they doing? Obsidian, yeah, yeah. They had to rush it out. I'm not going to blame them, but mind you, they got a habit of like rushed games, which are like show loads of promise.
Yeah,
but like Alpha Protocol, that's the game. Alpha Protocol, like that was broken almost in some parts, but it was an. Oh, I loved that.
It's funny you should say that. I was there was a friend that was like, I don't know why I've taken so long to play Alpha Protocol. And I was like,
it took me a while.
I was like, is this sarcasm?
Yeah,
but no.
I'm not gonna lie, it's easy to put off. You see the mediocre review scores, just like it's like a poor man's Mass Effect. I was like, Mass Effect, James Bond sounds pretty cool, Mission Impossible style. And, like, despite the problems, like, I really enjoyed it. I really found it easy to overlook the issues because, like, the dialogue was pretty decent. The choices were, like, interesting. And, minus a few kind of dodgy moments, should we say. The gameplay was pretty
simple. The Russian woman, I remember, I've seen in videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was Olga from Metal Gear. It very much looked like her.
Yeah, yeah.
Russian, the short blonde hair and a bit of a tomboy.
The thing is, it's one of those games, like, I enjoyed, but I kind of like rinsed through in like a week, and I'm struggling. I'm speaking in support of it now, but I'm like, well, I can't really remember much about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But anyway, we digress.
Yes. So the believe it or not, the first time I picked up Final Fantasy VII, I really did not like it.
Really?
I was maybe
a lot of people did though. A lot of people took it back within, like, it was the most return game ever, I think, at the time.
Well, it was like, I mean, obviously we'd have things like, pardon me, SNES games, mm-hmm. like, the Chrono Triggers. And just things like that.
But they didn't get wide kind of, the kind of press that Final Fantasy did.
I think they were appreciated a lot later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And over here, like, there was a hardcore played that, but with Final Fantasy VII, that went, like, mainstream.
I think it was because the characters, despite their kind of anime almost style, obviously.
Well, Cloud's
hair was ridiculous. But
yeah, I mean, it's to do with the giant sword. The punk, steampunk setting really hit home. And beyond that, a lot of it was just the fact that it looked fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I picked up, I'd never played a game that required 3 discs before.
That's exciting.
It was actually a friend's game.
People complain about that now. Back when I was younger, that was awesome.
Yeah,
it's like, this needs 3 discs. Yeah. It's like, the more discs, the better it was.
Well, that's because necessarily it tended to mean that you got more game.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I really didn't like it. I got up to the first boss, that scorpion,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know how to navigate. I mean, it was a JRPG menu.
So at this point, you were still kind of tiptoeing into game. You weren't convinced about gaming. You play Final Fantasy VII, and you're like, "Well, this is actually pretty shit."
Yeah.
But then somewhere down the line, it's like,
well, basically, what had happened was, like, before then, like, my first console was my uncle's old Atari,
mm-hmm.
with the kind of fake wood paneling on the front.
Oh, that looks painful.
A control, like, it was easy to use. You had one giant red button.
Yeah, yeah.
And a stick.
The fact that it was red as well.
Oh,
just press the button. Yeah,
yeah. And just a stick. And then after that, I think I had a Master System.
Yeah.
And played a lot of Sonic and stuff, but
yeah. Who did you upset to end up with a Master System rather than a Xbox,
I
just remember most kids, it's just like, hey, there was one kid who had a Master System, and just like, dude, you suck.
I think it was very much the case that maybe my parents didn't know or
love you.
I guess
if he wants a NES, fuck him. Let's keep the Master System.
I've suffered for it. Being a Sega fanboy has been its.
I'm a Sega fanboy myself. So.
But I remember, like, obviously there was the Master System, and then after that the Mega Drive, and I still wasn't enough of a gamer to make that jump.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, when you look back, I mean, it was the mid-90s, and games were £60 back then.
Oh, they cost a fortune. So I mean especially, well, Mega Drive was like 40, 45, they were expensive. It was the Super NES which brought in the super prices. Like, Street Fighter 2, I remember, like, everybody wanted, and it was like $60.
Saying that, most of the SNESs were bundled with Street Fighter, or at least for a long
time. They were later on. I mean, it was Super Mario World at the start. Because I just remember, like, one of the guys in my school, like, I was in primary school when the Super NES came out, and he, like, you know, like, do you have a toy day up here in Scotland?
Oh, like, at the end, the last
year. So I say, Scotland, like, you know, it's a different world. I'm from Wales, so, you know,
we didn't have electricity back then.
Of course. It was a rough couple of years in Scotland, but we had toy day, and of course, most of us would come in with our little, you know, action figures, He-Man, Transformers, what have you.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, like one rich kid in my school, he had a Super NES, and he brought it in with Super Street Fighter, not Super Street Fighter 2, just Street Fighter 2.
Right, so yeah. Release.
And of course, it was just, we lost our fucking mind. But he had two controllers, but he didn't play Street Fighter rules. Like, one of the great things about Street Fighters is that you play arcade rules.
You play
until you get beat.
Winner stays on.
Yeah, this motherfucker, he was having none of that. He was like, he stayed on. The whole day.
You just play whoever's next.
Yeah. He was like, we got in at 9, of course, as soon as you see that, set it up, we're sitting in front of him the whole day. So 9 until 3:30, he just sits there playing everybody else.
I've got to say,
I'm like, that's bad fucking Street Fighter. Even for a youngster, etiquette. You should know better. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's punishable, you know,
by death, in
Japan, if you go over there and you don't play by the rules in the arcades, you know.
I thought a couple of times about stabbing him with those little, you know, primary school scissors, but they're round at the end.
The scissors, the plastic scissors.
I might as well just throw a piece of paper at him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was obviously a massive release. But like you say, games, it was a big investment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, people don't, like, kids nowadays, they 69 pence for an iPhone game. You can buy games whenever you want.
To be honest,
back then that was the only option.
You know, I mean, my other job is I sell pre-owned games, mm-hmm. and you can now. I mean, you can, if you look in what's, I guess they call it the retro section, but we're talking PS2 and Xbox. We're only talking one generation. Again.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you can even pick up.
You can pick up all 360 games for like £2-3.
I mean, it's FIFA, but.
Yeah, but even some of the old one, like, you know, if you went in and you just think, oh, I'll pick up, like, I don't know, I saw Lost Odyssey for, like, a fiver.
Yeah, which is
a fucking amazing game.
It physically upsets me when people bring Final Fantasy XIII up to the counter. I ask if they have played Lost Odyssey, and they go, no. And then I show it to them, and they go,
no, I'm not sure. But
it's literally a third of the price.
It's the guy who made Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I mean,
I like Final Fantasy 13. I'm one of his supporters, but it's no Lost Odyssey.
To be honest with you, I don't really have the right to rag on 13 that much because I only played about 20 minutes of it.
Oh, well,
I just...
The first 20 hours are a tutorial, but
yeah.
I don't know what it was about it. I know a lot of people hate it. I am one of its staunchest supporters. I just loved it. I got dragged along. I liked the characters, except for the kid. He was a fucking douchebag. But, I mean, I absolutely love that game. But as much as I loved it, I loved Lost Odyssey more. That game. I mean, I love the characters.
Yeah.
The whole nine. But
My saddest story about Lost Odyssey is that my buddy fourth disc corrupted.
Oh, my God.
And by the time I managed to acquire another one, I think I'd lost the save because I had Red Ringed on the console.
Oh, no way.
By your fourth disc,
you're talking, what, like 40, 50 hours in?
Yeah, I mean, I was properly getting into the story.
I don't even know how you could do it. I mean, the thing is, it happened to me with Dead Space, the first one. I got to, like, how many chapters are in the first one? Is it 12 or 15 in the first one?
There's a lot more than you would think, though.
I think it's 15, because I literally just finished, I finally got around to playing Dead Space 2, and it was 15. So let's just say it's 15. I literally got to the last chapter. I was on the last chapter. I was, like, 20 minutes, if that, 10 minutes from the end.
Yeah.
And, like, it just got into a loop. Like, you're basically waiting for a door to open for the bad guys to run out. You know, it's all set up for a scene.
Yeah.
The light starts flashing on the door. The fucking door's gonna open. And I've got no backup save. It's just that one save. And like 20 minutes from the end, I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm not an achievement whore, but even that, I'm like, I was.
Oh, well, that's finishing the game.
Yeah.
There's closure. I mean, especially with a game like Dead Space, where you've spent hours cacking yourself.
Yeah, it's like 8 hours in. But that's the thing. Like, that was annoying. But like Lost Odyssey, 40, 50 hours in, I mean, a window, something's getting broken, one of the cats are getting stabbed.
Now all I can remember really is that one of the characters in traditional JRPG style has very exposed bosoms. And it's not the bosoms themselves, it's the massive blue veins that the animators decided that they thought were necessary.
They really went to town.
It's like, you know what? Fair enough, we're in a fantasy world where people use magic, this guy's immortal, but we need realistic boobs.
You gotta get boobs in there. If anything, it's a weird kind of mix because they're not quite realistic because they're that little bit too big, a little bit too like is the case of many, the dead or alive effect, as it were. But to add the veins kind of thing, it almost like confused me. I didn't know what was going on.
I don't know how controversial it would be to say that that's maybe a designer knowing their audience.
Oh, without question. I mean, in video games, it's just as standard. You just got to get some boobs in there.
It is, and I don't mean this in
JRPGs.
In a patronizing way at all, but it is really good to see that these issues are starting to be addressed now.
Don't get me wrong. I'm with you to a certain extent, but there's a part of me, the kind of red-blooded, misogynistic male, which is just like, I don't mind a bit of boob.
To be honest, I think we will continue to be catered to for the foreseeable future.
Listen, video gamers are always going to be fine by boobs. I like the fact that there's going to be a balance. I think this is going to be a chat. I've got it actually written down for another episode. Because I think, there are a lot more interesting female characters. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
There's still far too much boob and, unnecessary kind of cleavage. Again, not necessarily complaining, but we will get to that on a future episode.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy VII, you weren't enjoying it then,
No. I was borrowing a friend's copy, played it for up until the first boss. It kept beating me, and... Mm-hmm. I think there was quite a while between the save and that fight.
Yeah.
So I just gave up.
Yeah.
And
Quitter. That's why I still smoke. Well, I just won't accept
it. I was an 11 or 12 year old kid at the time.
Oh,
so,
okay.
After that, I think
11 or 12. Yeah, your mind starts to go on other things. Someone's following you. There's business to take care of when you're 11 or 12. I'm just saying.
Maybe if I'd met Tifa by that point. That was horrible.
Although she was all very blocky at this point, but I don't think that really mattered when you're younger. Lara Croft was blocky. That didn't mean shit to anyone.
Oh, don't, man.
Check it out. Those are boobs. Even if they are triangular ones.
I got so much. I was taking the piss out of for liking that game.
Tomb Raider?
Because my friends didn't like it.
Why? Well, that's their problem. I mean, you do realise they were just wrong. I mean, back then that was like a massive deal. That was like the big release, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, during that time, I guess I was an outdoorsy kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was when my parents separated, we moved up to Perth.
Yeah.
And I basically didn't know any of the kids.
So I stayed in.
And
got back into Final Fantasy.
Eventually.
It's showing the age difference. This, because I mean, how are you? 25?
25. Yeah.
25. So I'm 30. So when I think of like getting into games, it's a little bit earlier. I mean, in terms of like the first console I had, I'm not sure if you can refer to this console.
ZX Spectrum.
It was a Commodore 64.
Oh, right, okay.
But, for all these kids out there, with iPhones, and they're like, CDs are getting old-fashioned almost. Cartridges are a thing of the past. I was playing games on fucking tape. On a separate tape deck. It would take like 15 minutes to load up. You get that screeching sound. Well, I'm not sure, but it felt like 15 minutes. That horrible noise is loading up, and it wouldn't even load up all the time. It's like it loaded up sometimes. And you wait all that time to play Kung Fu, which most kids wouldn't download for like 59 pence on an iOS now. But that was my introduction, and I remember like being into it. Like I remember liking it, but it wasn't until it was actually my mother's friend, her husband, he was like quite into gaming, and he had I'm pretty sure it was an Atari ST, and he had Turrican, and that was the moment because I remember playing Turrican. Like the visuals were amazing. And I remember it was like when he got to the bosses, like if I was like, because every time I went around, I was like, oh, I've got to play Turrican.
Yeah.
And of course, like the bosses were like the size of the screen. And I just never seen anything like this. And it looked leagues ahead of the C64, I'm going to be honest. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, this is the boy. I'm feeling this. But I only had the C64 for 1 year, and I never did get an Atari ST. But the next Christmas, I asked for a NES.
Oh, right.
The smart choice of the time. But it just kind of goes down as like my most memorable Christmas memory, because I remember like I asked for the NES, went down on Christmas morning, and you're looking, like, I'm going through my presents, and I'm just going through the motion. I'm like, I'm waiting for the NES. And of course, I go through, and I guess a pretty cool present fit. I got, like, Manta Force. I'm not sure if you even remember that. You probably remember too. Oh, Manta Force, little dudes, huge ship. And they were awesome. But I got through all my friends. I had a decent haul. These are first world problems, aren't they? I was like, I got a decent haul, but I'm not going to lie. Inside, I was dying. I was a good kid, though. I kind of hid the disappointment. There was no NES.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, thanks, you know, for the Manta Force. But it was like, and they never did that since, but we went through to the other room then. And not only did I have a NES, but it was with Mario and Duck Hunt, the combo game.
Oh, nice.
And with the NES shooter. And they bought us a little TV. Like, I'm going to sound like a spoiled little kid. We never usually got this much for Christmas. But for some odd reason, my parents splurged on me this year. I'm not sure if my dad got a raise or something.
Yeah.
But I just lost my mind. And, I mean, the thing is, I was talking to Bethan about this recently. Duck Hunt just doesn't feel like it's necessarily been surpassed. Because, I mean, Brashcast, just in case, hopefully you're going to take an interest, is linked to the website Brash Games, which hopefully you're listening to this on. But I review for them, and one of the games I got for review, like last year or the year before, was Time Crisis 4 for the PS3. I was like, oh, yeah, sweet, you know, light gun.
Is that the one with the orange gun with the control?
With the control thing. But it had, like, two huge scanner things, which you need to stick on the top of the TV. And you had to calibrate it and shit.
I mean, I played that.
Why did technology go backwards on this?
Your
NES, you just picked it up. There was no calibration. You just pointed at the screen and shot.
There was a reason for that, and I don't know the technical parts of it, but it's apparently with plasma TVs.
It is something like that, I know, but it just felt like bullshit.
Yeah.
It was just like, at the time, I was like, really? And it was, you know, I was just, I kept referring to, like, the NES. I was like, oh, well, I'm the NES. I had the gun, and it just worked on my little TV, but that just felt bullshit, but... I mean, that was pretty special.
Oh, tell the truth. How far from the screen did you play Duck Hunt?
Well, if I was with my mates, I was across the other side of the room. But of course, you know, like anyone else, there was moments when you just had the gun up to the screen.
Yeah.
But like anyone else, I spent most of my time trying to shoot that fucking dog.
I think
you could shoot him in the arcade version. I never played it, but I'm sure I heard that somewhere. I might be making that up. But it's like, because he'd just come up and just laugh at you.
If someone who knows Peter, you know...
Oh, sorry, I thought you were on about a guy called Peter. I was like, PETA, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, you can't go harming animals.
Well, you know the whole Tanuki suit thing that they had? It was
They
like,
said that was a joke, didn't they?
I don't know if they... Did they?
I'm sure they said afterwards it was supposed to be a joke, but I'm
to
not
be
sure
honest,
it was.
When,
I think
when,
trying
when,
to
it, come,
it
when it comes to these kinds of activists, a sense of humour is something
I don't think
they really... I mean, fair enough, it's serious to them, but...
But a Tanuki suit, fucking really.
It was.
And should it count anyway? Like, I understand not shooting a dog, but what if that dog is taking the piss?
Well, yeah.
What if that dog's giving you shit? I mean, he's provoked me.
Yeah.
He knows I've got a gun. As far as I'm concerned, he's fucking asking for trouble. I mean, if that dog just walking past, I pop a gap, then fair play, knock on the door. But if that dog laughing, pointing, talking trash... He knows the risks.
If you turn your TV up really loud, he says something anti-Semitic. But
I'm pretty sure I heard that. That was the first time I was like, "Do you say something about Jews?"
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Jewish, but I'll support him to the death.
Yeah.
And you know, if that means I have to kill a few dogs. Fucking so be it. You know, I what can I say? I'm a man of the people, a philanthropist. Yes. I consider myself. I guess as I said, Turrican was the one that like kind of got me seriously into gaming, and then it was the NES which kind of led from there. And as you say, it's strange as you're saying about like the Master System, because as I said, I had no interest in the Master System, but from then on in, I was a total Sega boy.
Yeah,
like it was the Mega Drive then, because
right.
You know,
so
it was one or the other.
Did you go from NES to Mega Drive?
NES to Mega Drive, yeah, because back then it was like I was early teens and it was seen as the cool thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, retrospect, the N64 probably was the better console.
To be honest, their advertising campaign, when you look back on it, is painfully 90s.
Oh, yes.
Like,
so
they might as well just be quoting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
it's just like, this is totally rad!
This is totally awesome. If you're a kid and you want to be cool, you buy a Mega Drive. I mean, it was cheesy as fuck. But, I mean, the one for the Master System was actually really cool, that it takes ages to be this good or something. The whole Sega thing being backwards. Something like that, I'm sure. If anyone has this, they'll be screaming at the fucking computer.
Yeah.
But I remember that being kind of cool. Obviously not well enough to definitely say what it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were some pretty dodgy adverts. I mean, I kind of remember this, like, the Nintendo adverts at the time, to be honest. But I remember, like, all the kind of adverts in the back of magazines where it's just goofy kids kind of looking at a screen, like, yeah, playing a game. They were all cheesy as balls. It wasn't until, I think, the kind of PlayStation era, when it got a bit more, like, they were the Crash Bandicoot adverts, I remember, like, the real life ones. They were all pretty sweet.
I think it's probably because Sony had their fingers in so many other pies at this point. You know, they were all over the place. You know, they were selling TVs. And
yeah, they got, like, shit together for PlayStation.
I found out from my course, I do video game design.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it turns out Sony started as, like, a small radio repair business in Tokyo.
Really? Well, it's weird how they all, like, Nintendo used to sell, like, fucking cards.
Trading cards. Apparently, if you find some, are worth a fortune.
Yeah, I bet there's got to be some.
They also run a taxi cab company.
Nintendo run a taxi cab.
Or they did. I'm not sure if they still do.
I haven't heard about that. I mean, you'd have to look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is the office in Osaka, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard, like, you think, oh, it'd be amazing to go to Japan and visit and stuff, but I've heard it's, like, a really boring office. Because you do see some of these gaming offices and you see pictures and they look fucking awesome. You're like, I want to go there and visit. But I've heard the Osaka office for Nintendo is painfully boring.
Yeah.
So it's just like you go all the way there. I mean, it'd be cool to go there anyway.
I mean, if you get to meet Miyamoto or something, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. Thing is, he's awesome. He's clearly a genius, but he is one cheerful motherfucker. I'm too cynical nowadays. I think it'd wear on me.
He seems painfully eccentric.
That seems sacrilegious to say that kind of thing. To say, I can't be fucked with Miyamoto. He's too cheerful. But, I mean, no, it would obviously be cool to meet him. And, I mean, it'd be cool just to see he went there. But as I've heard, it's pretty boring.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, because You see these guided tours, like, mm-hmm, of, like, the one I watched was for Bethesda's offices in Utah, mm-hmm, and it's just like, I just have to go there.
Yeah, I mean, you see that stuff, and, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to work in the gaming. As much as I'd love to tell you lies and say that I get paid for the reviews, paid for this great, great chat, sadly, no, I have to work in finance, corporate governance, and It's not that interesting. The office is very boring. There's just no sign of video game memorabilia anywhere to be seen.
Yeah,
it's amazing how Edinburgh fund managers are just not interested. They love golf, but Mario Golf, not so much.
Remember, stay tuned for our sister podcast, Finance Cast.
Finance Cast, yeah.
We'll just be reading the financial papers.
Yeah, we'll be going into the figures, the latest figures of the NASDAQ, you know, the kind of the boom and bust across the world. I mean, It's intriguing stuff, so keep an eye out for that, of course. Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't even joke
you
about it.
You managed to bore yourself.
I would literally, I mean, sometimes, Jesus Christ, I think I might have to just put a gun in my mouth. But I hope nobody from my office is listening to this, of course. But yeah, as I said, I kind of switched over to Sega, so... And after the Mega Drive, that was it. I mean, me and my friends, we were like the small percentage that went out and bought Sega Saturns after that.
I know.
But it had so many great. We bought, like, a lot of us got it towards the launch, and of course back then it was like Virtua Fighter, Virtua Fighter 2, Sega Rally,
Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, that was amazing. What was the other one? Sega Worldwide Soccer. I used to fucking love that game.
To be honest, I remember working at Game Station and seeing these copies of Virtua Fighter that we had in the section. For like 10 pence.
Oh, yeah, and the boxes were ugly.
I remember the Master System boxes, they were just like, it looked like white graph paper.
Yeah, it was really weird, wasn't it? Like, they were just kind of plastic boxes, but the white graph paper was like a standard for every cover, and it would just have like the little cards.
Whereas, you know, all the Nintendo ones had really bright, colourful artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
It really showed, like.
The Nintendo ones were made of like budget cardboard, though, weren't they?
Well, there was normally, like, a little cardboard pocket inside.
Well, you had the little black sleeve thing, didn't you? But, I mean, in terms of the actual box with artwork, it was just cardboard. I mean, the Sega Master System ones, they were, and it was the same with the Mega Drive. Those were plastic, and the Super NES ones were, like, they were cardboard again.
Yeah.
So that's why most of them, when you see them now, are just beaten to shit. I mean, that went right up to the N64, but yeah, those Master System ones, they were weird, but they look kind of cool now, I think. Definitely fucking better than the Sega Saturn ones, which are ugly.
Yeah, and the black and kind of elongated.
Oh, so bad. And it's such a shame because, like, the Japanese, because I've got a Japanese Sega Saturn, and they're all just in, like, cool CD-sized cases.
All right. Which
is just basic spine stuff. Same as the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast games in Japan just came in CD cases again.
As opposed to the blue...
The blue ones, which were okay. But they used to break loads. They had, like, the dual thing, didn't they, with the disc and the booklet on the other side. But yeah, the Japanese ones, again, that's why I've collected them, just because I think they look cooler, I think. But yeah, the Sega Saturn, I mean, obviously, it was looking okay for like a couple of weeks. But then, of course, like Gran Turismo came out, Final Fantasy VII came out, Resident Evil 2 came out, because Resident Evil 1 was actually on the Saturn.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Saturn, it died a bit of a death. It did. Sorry if you can hear that. There are kids outside.
I think they're being murdered.
I think. Well, we can only hope that they die quickly.
Yeah.
And very soon. But sorry if you can hear that. But actually, I'll go and come to the window. But
it's okay. There we go.
We're fine. We're back. I've lost my train of thought now. What was I tripping on about?
You were talking about when the PS1 came out. That you'd backed the wrong horse.
Oh, yeah, without question. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think it did reasonably well in Japan, the Sega Saturn. But over here, it didn't do business.
I think brand loyalty counts for a lot over there. You know, I think that...
Well, it didn't with the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast did shit over there, sadly. I mean, a lot of people jumped ship by then, I suppose. But,
yeah, yeah.
And again, Sony's a Japanese company, so I guess it didn't count for so much. But yeah, that it came apparent pretty quick that I backed the... As much as I love the Sega Saturn, of course, I had to get a PlayStation.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It just went without saying. You couldn't miss these games when you were a gamer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a shame with the Sega Saturn, because some of the best games were actually came out towards the end of its life. Like Burning Rangers, which wasn't a perfect game, but it was like a really cool concept. Surely ripe for a remake or a re-release of some persuasion. And, of course, Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah,
which was fucking amazing. But I think they released like 1,000 copies in Europe. I mean, it was already in the death throes.
The original Xbox got...
Panzer Dragoon Orta, wasn't it? Yeah, that was ace as well. But Saga was like that amazing... It was like an RPG. It was like a cross between traditional Panzer Dragoon gameplay.
Well, I mean,
and they mixed it with RPG sensibilities. And it was a massive game. It was on like 3 discs.
Yeah.
And while you couldn't buy it for shit anywhere... They actually release, I guess, by this point, maybe they've just given up the ghost. But you could... Sega Saturn magazine, I remember back in the day when the last episode, issues, had the whole first disc free on the magazine. So I played the whole first disc. But then, of course, I didn't have the game. So, and of course, if you want to pick it up now, it's going to run you, what, like $100, I suppose. So,
oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
I'm getting that. But you jumped in straight at PlayStation, yeah?
Yeah, well, PlayStation was really... Basically, once I'd moved to Perth, PlayStation became like my best friend.
Oh,
yeah, it's a bit tragic, but yeah, I was sharing a room with my two younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We were living with my grandmother, so it was very cramped conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally, not enjoying myself very much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good. I basically
to the world of video games.
That's exactly what it was. It was escapism,
mm-hmm.
and.
If only you had Xbox Live, you would have had a world of people.
I mean, the only console that even had online capability at the time was the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, back in the day, yeah, of course.
But yeah.
They didn't get up and running. And
no.
It was too far ahead of its time. Internet connections.
You needed to basically have a PhD in IT to get...
Yeah, and plus you needed the best internet connection in the country. I think a lot of people played Infamous Fantasy Star Online.
Yeah,
Quake 3 Arena got played quite a bit.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I remember all the adverts when it came out, and like I fucking love the Dreamcast. That is, like, I've got it in the spare room. It's always been set up since I bought it in, like, what was it, 99 or 2000 it came out over here, and it was 99 in Japan maybe. But I remember all the adverts where they had, you know, Let's Play Together and all that crap. But of course they didn't get the online infrastructure sort of for ages, and it just, you know, it was one of those like great ideas on paper, but like so much
it really was ahead of its time.
Totally. I mean, it still looks great, the design of the console.
The funny thing is it's one of the very few consoles that I think gamers lament its demise, because
I don't think I've ever quite
It didn't deserve to die the way it did.
No. I don't think I've ever quite forgiven Sony. For some reason, because like I'm not like a fanboy, certainly not anymore, I'm too old for that shit, but I really did. Like, none of my friends bought a Dreamcast, I just couldn't understand it. It was the one console, like, when it came out, it was so far ahead of everything else. And it was the first console I remember where it was like arcade gaming was officially at home.
Oh, because yeah.
like Sega Saturn and PlayStation, they were good. And they did arcade ports, but they were just that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there were so many things that I think they, like, that epitomised the Dreamcast, and it was games at their very best. You got things like...
Well, Sega were being so creative at the time.
Oh, you've got Crazy Taxi, probably the best ever version of Crazy Taxi.
Oh, yeah, because it's got this... I mean, even the new version doesn't have the was it Offspring soundtrack?
Yeah,
doesn't have
yeah.
the shops. You shouldn't matter about the shops, but it's part of the experience, so you still want to play the original.
Yeah, and you've got Jet Set Radio as well, which is now warranting a re-release.
It's coming up soon, isn't it? But the HD release.
Apparently, they're talking about... There's quite a lot of stuff missing from that one as well, I think, in the new one.
That is a great game as well. So many of the Sega first party games were just phenomenal.
Yeah. Was it Sonic Adventures? The first
Sonic
one?
Adventures. It was very... Again, that was like... it had a lot of problems.
It was a deviation from what people expected.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
But, but after Sonic R...
Oh, and yeah, 3D, yeah, totally. The 3D people were willing to forgive one thing.
Yeah, people just wanted to go to a decent Sonic game.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for it. Like, it's got... The camera is shit. The additional characters are mostly bollocks. But it's... There's something about the game world. And I remember, like, I was sold on the intro movie. Like, it had that terrible J-rock soundtrack. When I say terrible, it was so catchy.
Painfully Japanese.
Oh, so Japanese. But it had, like, the kind of CG background. And I remember seeing that. And I was just like, that looks fucking amazing. But, like I said, it was, like, Soul Calibur. I know that wasn't Sega first party, of course. But, like, Soul Calibur was exactly the same as the arcade version. That was the first time that had ever happened where, like... It was... the Dreamcast was basically the Naomi board of the time, which was powering most of the big arcade games anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those games, like, my friends were still playing PlayStations, and I just didn't get it. I was like, how the fuck can you play that when a Dreamcast exists? And, like, Shenmue 2 in particular probably stands as my favourite game of all time.
You prefer the second one?
I prefer the second one.
That'll be controversial.
You reckon? I think it's a better game. Like, I love the Japanese setting in the first one. But the whole going to Hong Kong Harbour and...
Picking up sailors and all that. Forklift minigame.
That was the first one, wasn't it? The forklift
Yeah. It was...
I'm going to the arcades and playing, like, Hang-On and stuff.
To be
like
honest,
that.
It's a game I never actually played. I've heard so much about it.
Oh, my God, it's so fucking good. I mean, it's not for everyone because it is slow and it is... To blame, I think, largely for bringing QTEs to the world.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There was a lot of quick time events in that game.
But it's so good. Like, the whole world, I mean, it's just, it's one man, and basically allowed to run, like, he's just run wild with the director, there's no doubt about it. And they've just let him go. And, of course, it's cost Sega a bloody fortune. But in Shenmue 1 and 2, you've got two of the most unique, and what I think, greatest games ever created. They're not necessarily the greatest games, but... Two of the best experiences,
I think,
and that's what sticks to me, especially in the second.
I know this is going to be—it's maybe a bit of a leap, but I think that as much as I find them really pretentious, but David Cage's games like Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain,
I loved Heavy Rain.
I think there's a lot,
but a very good game. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think there's a lot of Shenmue in the David Cage's games.
There are elements of it, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, Shenmue brought together so many kind of disparate, especially for the time, things which had just never been thrown together, like an open world, the QTEs, the dialogue options and stuff. I mean,
plus the combat. I mean, it was virtual.
It was basically the virtual fighter
engine,
and that just the whole game was amazing. I just love it so much. I'll be so happy if they release Shenmue 3. I've given up hope on it, essentially. But, I mean, if any game is going to roll a tier, I think it'd be... Like, if Shenmue 3 announced, that would be it for me. I don't know what I'd do. But I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think, realistically, all we can hope for are Shenmue 1 and 2 in HD. Someone's told me that they've already been completed. Like, they've been doing it for,
so
like...
You're sitting on them.
Yeah, sitting on them. So, which gives you... See, again, it's going to be that false hope bullshit where you're just like, well, if they're waiting to finish Shenmue 3, they do an announcement, the trilogy.
Don't, man. Especially...
Don't, man. Just don't fucking do it yourself, dude.
Especially considering that I've said my favourite game is Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, wait for the remake.
There's a new rumour every year.
Yeah.
I mean,
but at least you got to finish that. You had closure. It was just the one game.
Well, that's
Shenmue 2 finishes... In the most ridiculous cliffhanger. It's not even a cliffhanger. It's like something happens. You're just out in the country, And it's just like, that is it.
But saying that, they do open up Seven again on several occasions.
Oh, I mean, with the other, with Scourge of Cerebrus. And
there's
that.
The movie as well, you know. It's
yeah, none of it's been as good though, is it?
Oh, well, no. But I mean, to be honest, there's so much about it. I won't go into it.
Yeah.
There's so much about that game that I love.
I do really like Final Fantasy VII, in fairness. I mean, it is... I'm a Final Fantasy fan, and that's up there. Like, I really like 13. I know a lot of people don't, but that is actually one of my favourites. A lot of people be like, what the fucking 13, really? 10, I quite liked, but I didn't like... What's the name of the main character?
Titus.
He's a bit of a dude.
10 is the reason I don't like Final Fantasy.
Really?
Anymore.
Oh, yeah. So we've clashed. It's already fallen to pieces.
Literally... Giving them a voice was possibly the worst thing they've done.
You see,
like, I know this.
It was the next logical step.
I know there's a lot of people that complain about, you know, having to read all that text, but I mean, it's really not that big a deal.
No, it's not. But I mean, that was years. You got to think that was back in the PS2. That was a selling point, though.
Yeah.
They were like, "Look, we can do the voices.
We're making it more cinematic."
Look, it's, you know, you got to think back then as well. The disc was a big deal. They were like, "Look, we can put all this information on a disc. We can." I mean, I know obviously the PS1 had already, but it was the next step.
They overlooked the fact that these are Japanese games. Mm-hmm. I mean. Fundamentally Japanese.
Yeah,
even if they've westernized
the most Japanese of any game.
Even if they've westernized the characters and the world to some extent.
Well, I don't think they do. I think they think of their Japanese audience. Well, certainly back then. I think now, obviously, they're taking more and more consideration into the Western audiences because they think that's where the money is, with some very fucking mixed results.
Yeah.
But I think still with the PS2 days, I think they were still comfortable with the fact, like, we're just going to do our thing and just, like, it'll probably sell. And obviously it did.
Yeah,
but yeah, the voices that were an issue. That wasn't one of my. I mean, I liked him.
The thing is, like, Auden, like, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kumari, I mean, quite quiet, but still, you know, kind of cool character.
Yeah, yeah.
The female characters,
they had their own games, didn't
they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had 10-2, which. Yeah. Going back to sexism in video games really seems to be...
When they like, they were like a J-pop band.
Yes, they form a girl band. And I think they shoot things now. Yeah, I never played it because I was...
Funny enough,
I own it.
And I've owned it for like fucking 8 years. And I've never played it.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's just one of those games which just will forever sit on my shelf. I just can't see me ever going to it now.
Yeah. Plus, I love the fact that Tame has a Rastafarian ginger man.
Yeah, that's a bizarre...
Who kills things with a beach ball. It's just...
Brilliant. you've got to have a bit of respect for that avenue just because it's bonkers. But, I mean, what is it with black guys and, you know, doing something utterly... But, like, Saz in Final Fantasy 13, he just has a bird in his hair.
A chocobo in his hair,
In his hair. A bird, of course. Sackler's one. Yeah, he just has a chocobo just mincing about in his hair, of course. I mean, that's the thing, but... Yeah, I mean, I like 10 rather than loved it, but 6 and 7... They're the two best. They're my two favorite. I love 6.
I own 6. Mm-hmm. My little brother is borrowing it just now, but I need to get it back from him because I need to play that game because everyone says it's better.
Bizarre. That was literally a sentence from like 1996, wasn't it?
Yeah.
My brother has got my copy of Final Fantasy VI, and I need to get it back to play. You do really need to do it because it is a great game.
The thing is, like, I know that it's not. I don't think it's going to surpass 7 for me. Purely because 7 has that nostalgia.
Oh, it has the nostalgia thing, you haven't got a chance. I mean, it was obviously the last of the top-down 2D ones, but, I mean, it looks so good for Super NES. You can actually get it on a PSN. I think it costs like £8. I mean, it's the PS1 port, but it's basically the same game.
Yeah, well, with cutscenes.
Yeah. But I've actually got the Game Boy Micro, and I've got it on that. Like, nobody bought the Game Boy Micro. The Game Boy Micro was fucking pimp.
Wait, was that the one?
It was like an Advance, but it was tiny.
I don't know, man. I like a slightly bit. I like
the screen was small, but like I was worried about it. But for some odd reason, it just works. You just hold it, and you just I don't know. The screen was so clear on that thing. Oh, it was. It is.
Well, there was the one that flipped up. What was that?
That was the DS.
The Game Boy
Advance. The Advance. I can't remember.
But yeah, it had
special
like,
or something.
Yeah, it had the flip up screen.
Yeah.
That was the one I had, and I thought that was great.
Oh yeah, I had that as well. That was pretty cool.
Because
the original one was pretty ugly. And it wasn't a good looking like.
It's weird with Nintendo handhelds.
The first one's always ugly as shit.
The DS. What was that?
Ugliest fucking thing in the world.
It was like. someone had taken like a ziggurat and like glued a few Toblerone bits to it.
It does literally look like a 10-year-old like drew it, and they were just like, yeah, let's just stick it out there. Yeah. But I mean, you look at a DS and then like a DSi, and the difference is just, I mean, the DSi is a gorgeous thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even like the fact that the DSi is so gorgeous makes the 3DS look a bit shit to me. Because there's something about it, it just, like, maybe it's the colours, the fact that you open it up and it's not the same colour inside. Yeah. I just always think it looks a bit budget by comparison. And I think it's the same thing with the...
So, to be honest, there's the one 3DS that I want is that limited edition Zelda one, because it's beautiful.
Oh, with the... Yeah, that's quite
it's
nice.
It's black.
And it's got the gold the Triforce trim. And stuff.
I love Zelda, mm-hmm, but yeah. Not all Zeldas. Like, I wouldn't call myself a Zelda fanboy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want that.
Oh, yeah,
it's
it
so
is nice.
Pretty.
It is nice. See, we are slowly here doing... I mean, we were going to talk about other things, but this has obviously quickly turned into a gaming history, as it almost, you know. The thing is, like I said, you know, we don't know each other, so this is all new to us.
Yes.
This is new stuff. We're not bullshitting here. we're literally going through our gaming histories here. And, you know, just so you know, I mean, for future episodes, we're going to have a bit more form, maybe.
Yes,
a bit more form. We will, I think we're going to keep with the idea of a feature at the start, but we'll look at, you know, what's coming out, what we're playing. But, you know, I appreciate that this episode has been a bit back and forth. But we're excitable chaps.
Yes.
This is just two guys just talking about gaming.
And it's something that we love, you know. It is.
I'm 30 years old, and I am no closer to, you know, growing up.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't imagine a time when... The thing is, I don't play video games as much. I'm busy with work. You know, I live with my girlfriend of 10 years. I probably should man up there. But, you know, we've got cats. This is grown-up shit. But I can never imagine, like, looking into a magazine, reading up on the internet, seeing a new console and not wanting it. Even if I can't play it, it's just, I fucking have to have it. Like, the Wii U, even that, it's like, I look at it, I'm like, there's nothing really exciting me about it, but I'm like, I have to have it.
Otherwise, you're not a real gamer.
Exactly.
They come and take your license away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, it's weird, because I only have that with the home consoles. I don't actually have that same sense with the handhelds. I never have. Like, I don't mind handhelds, like, but I don't have a Vita and I don't have a 3DS and I'm in no particular rush.
I think the cynic in me just assumes that all the best games on there are going to be ports.
On the Vita?
Well, on the handhelds in general.
I mean, Nintendo usually do a pretty good job of differentiating. That's why I think they do well. Because, I mean, the Vita looks fantastic. It's a gorgeous piece of kit. But, I mean, most people are like, well, I can play these games better on my PS3. Whereas Nintendo have always had that thing where they've got something on the handheld which is just on the handheld. It's that unique experience which I think the Vita needs to catch on with. Although, don't get me wrong, it's fucking dying a death at the moment.
Yeah.
But over here, like, in Japan, I think one big RPG, one big monster at a time, it can turn it around, like, you know, for the PSP.
Yeah.
But here, the biggest release, and I hope they don't fuck it up, although it's not looking great at the moment, is Black Ops 2.
Right.
Because if they have that connection issue, which obviously they're having with so many games now, where if you buy... I think they're doing it with PlayStation.
Yeah, they're doing it with Wipeout. I know they're doing it with Wipeout.
And what's the new the PlayStation brawler? It's like Smash Brothers, not PlayStation Heroes.
All-Stars.
All-Stars. Where if you... I'm pretty sure if you buy it on PS3...
You get the Vita.
Yeah, the Vita version.
It is very smart... Like, Sony's know their marketing.
Well, they seem to at the moment. I'm not sure if I would agree with that generally, but...
I don't know,
remember the PS3 launch, yeah?
The thing...
Like, we don't give a fuck how much it is.
No.
We don't care how poor you are. You just want
I think they just... They didn't realise where their strengths lie. Like,
yeah.
Sony...
I think they got a bit too big for their boots in the play. Like, after the PS2, they've sold, like, a gajillion copies. They're just like, we can say whatever we want.
My theory is that after the PS2, they kind of rested on their laurels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question.
What they do is they make this amazing piece of hardware. They're like a kid with ADHD.
Yeah.
Because they'll pick something up. They'll make something incredible. And then they'll spot something else, like a new project.
Yeah.
And then they'll go and do that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll totally, forsake whatever they've just made. So.
And the thing is, as well, with Sony, they've got a bad habit of knee-jerk reactions. I mean, you know, like The Move being a classic one. Like, that was just a bad idea.
I mean, if you think about it, the theory holds up for the PS3. So they make this amazing thing and they push Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
It worked for DVD.
Push it. But I don't think the world was ready for Blu-ray yet, because DVDs were just starting to become what VHS was. Yeah, it was
the problem,
house.
I think, there is that Blu-rays weren't enough of a selling point. The thing is, the difference between VHS and Blu-ray was night and day. You had VHS and you saw DVD, you were like, fuck, I can't deal with this tape, this winding, like rewinding all that shit. You saw that and you were just like, everyone was like, that is the future.
A complete transformation.
Yeah, whereas DVD to Blu-ray, you were just like...
The box is slightly smaller and it's blue.
It is blue. Don't get me wrong, it's clearer, but it wasn't like... It didn't have that like immediate, like, look at this and look at this. Like, don't get me wrong, people like us, that sounds so fucking popular. You know, gamers, people who are into tech and stuff, you see the difference and, you know, you want it. You're like, God, look how much clearer the pictures. But to your average... Joe Schmo in the street, you're like, they're both discs, they both play the same thing.
This one's four times the price.
Yeah, this one's four times the price. Oh, the picture's better than this one. Oh, okay. Oh, but by the way, you need a HDTV, which of course is standard now, but back when it was released, it wasn't. Not everybody had a HDTV.
Apparently, it's only about 40% of the British public have an HDTV.
Even now, really?
Apparently.
I just assumed it was everyone.
I could be pulling that statistic out my back.
It just could be bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you might be right. I mean, the thing is, I don't think, you know, the numbers... I mean, the fact is, in shops now, you don't see normal TVs.
No, it is
just HD.
But saying that, I mean,
there's going to be a lot of older folks.
Like, even in my work, I mean, you can pick up like a 17-inch, relatively like a crap brand, like one you've never heard of, for maybe £50.
A HD one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, they've come down right down. I mean, it is kind of. You know, it's at the price now where everyone just gets them. There's no doubt about it. It's not an issue anymore. I mean, even with 3D, I've got a 3D TV. I've got a Samsung one. And it was, like £500? Wow. I mean, we went to buy that TV. We're like, okay, we've seen it. It's like 43-inch. We like Samsung. We're getting that. We went to buy it. And then the 3D version was like £100 more. We weren't even planning on getting 3D. I'm not even sure if I'm fussed on 3D. I'm like, £100 more? I was like, fuck it. Yeah, go on then. And just so happened that we got the glasses. And, you know, it was worthwhile. I don't use it all that often. I occasionally use it for games. I think that's a whole other podcast as well.
Yeah.
But even that, I mean, these things, I just don't get why people are early adopters on anything with because the prices come rocketing down. But as I said, like, with the consoles, I've just got to go out and buy them. I just have to get them. But yeah, sorry, I've gone off on one again, haven't I?
No, it's fine. It's cool.
It's fine. But yeah, like I said, you know, next week... Whenever next week is, because, you know, we've got to wait a while. One of the reasons we're not actually talking too much about kind of news and update things is because we're not sure when we can get this up on the site. So it'll be a while, but once we do get up there, hopefully a weekly thing we're going to get training for.
Yeah.
And plus, of course, I'm going to Korea next week. That's going to cause a problem. Geography-wise, it's just not going to work. But, yeah, we'll have a bit more structure. But, you know, hopefully this is giving you a taste of, you know, some of the chat that will be going on here. I mean, we were going to go into other things. I mean, we were going to go into Xbox Live Arcade, the Summer of Arcade. We were going to... The thing is, if we mention films, we mention Batman. That's another fucking hour.
Yeah, Batman and Star Wars. It'll become a recurring theme, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I know fucking every podcast has talked about the Dark Knight Returns now, but... Dark Knight Rises, I just read the graphic novel. But I think we're just going to have to put a day on that one and just come back to it next week. So, you know, if you want to hear about, you know, our views on the Dark Knights, on Star Wars, you know, even if it's just totally unnecessary, although 1313. Oh, sorry, I've dangled the fucking carrot. We're not going to do this now. We're going to wrap it up before Ross's fucking head explodes. But, you know, thank you for listening. Please come back, tune in again, and, you know, visit Brash Games, brashgames.co.uk, and,
Twitter tags as well?
Oh, yeah, Brashcast at Twitter. I still have no idea what I'm doing on Twitter. I signed up as Brashcast, it's just Brashcast. We're going to get a Facebook page.
At Brashcast.
At Brashcast, yeah, sure. Like I said, if you join us... on Twitter, I'm sure I can figure out what I'm doing. And if not, Ross will get on board and he'll sort it out. But yeah, we'll be up on Facebook soon. But as I said, you know, visit the sites, check us out on Twitter. And check us out next week. So for now, I've hit a wall now. I don't have to sign off.
I'll just say I am at Mr. Roaster, MR Roaster.
Okay. I have nothing, I'm sorry.
All right, okay.
I just have brushes. I actually signed up for Twitter and got banned after one tweet.
Was it?
I don't know. It wasn't racist. It wasn't anti-Semitic. It was nothing of that ilk. I literally just, you know,
posting pictures.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the details of what it was. That maybe that's the reason. But yeah, so you know, check out Ross on Twitter. Check out the Brashcast site, and yeah, I guess that's it for now.
Yeah,
so
we'll see you next week.
We're going to need to sign off, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll need to.
We're not going to sign off this time. We're just going to jump straight in with the music. But next time, we're going to have something for you. Until then, catch you later.
Bye.